Blog Talk Radio.
We know what we've done to you. And we know what over 500 years we've put in your head. And we know how to utilize that. And we know how to take advantage of that. And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we know how to take advantage of that.
Christianity has been misused for hundreds of years to keep your people in subjugation. And I'm speaking now a reality that the history books do not record, but history does. Christianity was used because if I said, okay, you don't believe the way I believe, and Christianity is the best way to believe, so I'm going to take you, and it's going to be for your own good, honey. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to tear away everything about you and just keep your hands and your feet because they can help me. But I'm going to do this for your own good because I'm going to give you a God. Christianity has been misused for hundreds of years to keep your people in subjugation. And I'm speaking now a reality that the history books do not record, but history does. Christianity was used because if I said, okay, you don't believe the way I believe, and Christianity is the best way to believe, so I'm going to take you, and it's going to be for your own good, honey. It's going to be for your own good. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to tear away everything about you and just keep your hands and your feet because they can help me. I'm getting off. But I'm going to do this for your own good because I'm going to give you a God. Now, what does that God look like? The reality of it is when he came here, he didn't look like me. So what am I going to do about that? I'm going to make him look like me. So now I'm going to give you a God, but I'm going to do that in a way that is going to further me. So I'm going to give you a God that looks like me, so that when you bow down to that God, you're bowing down to me. See, so that we've done that. We've given your people a God that looks like me, so that you don't have any qualm about bowing down to me. See, because this is the image of God. I don't know of any sin that we've committed that's greater than that one. And we did it with the Bible in our hands when we were beating your ancestors for looking at us eye to eye. And we're quoting to them from this scripture. Even if we allowed them to have their own ministers, which there wasn't many of because we didn't allow them to read. But if we said, okay, you can have your church. This is my plantation. I'm going to do what I want with it. You can have your church. But then spies were sent, and those spies would stand outside the church, and that man would be beaten, perhaps killed, if he preached anything other than three sermons. And those three sermons were turn the other cheek, obey your master, and it's going to get better one of these days. God's going to take care of all of it. You're going to be in a happy, happy land. So put up with what you're putting up with now. We know what we've done to you. And we know what over 500 years we've put in your head. And we know how to utilize that. And we know how to take advantage of that. And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we made your people preach that to your people. And it's still being done. It's still being done.
The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened to your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord.
Cause I'm just a human. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, family. Hey, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, I'm your host, and I'm your servant, Georgia Johnson. Today's date, family, is the 19th of April, 2013. We are going to have a special show today. We've titled this show, Bathsheba, the Hittite or Hebrew. Bathsheba, the Hittite or Hebrew. Now, this is going to be a good show for those of you who are listening to very many different teachers. You have some telling you that, well, when they talk about the Gentiles and the Romans and all this, and the sin they're getting engrafted in and all this stuff, well, you know, all the nations, we got to bring all the nations in. You won't get a surprise, okay, because we're going to read the Word and you're going to get understanding with the Word. Old Testament, New Testament, the Old Covenant, New Covenant. Hey, it hasn't changed. The Father's Word does not change, will not come back void. But we have to put our brothers and our sisters back into remembrance. So this show is going to go into, what was Bathsheba? Was she a Hittite or was she a Hebrew? And that's what we're going to focus on today. This goes on just a clear understanding. When they say our fathers have taught us lies and vanities where there is no, and they talk about the word Gentile, they, everybody think it's talking about the other nations. No, 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 no. It's talking about the Hebrews. Just go ahead and read all Jeremiah and get it. So we're going to be going into some knowledge, some wisdom, okay, some understanding in our Father Yahuwah's word. Because, see, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to know the truth. And the Father put it on me to really focus on this because the future shows we will be having is going to get into deeper information. If you can't grasp that this is our history book, this is our Hebrew history book. I don't care what kind of lie the world tells you. This is our Hebrew history book. If you study to show yourself approved, you'd understand it. Okay? We have many people coming in as guests, lost sheep. You know, they're going to get the truth as well because I'm going to read it straight from the Father's Word. You're not going to hear me talking about it. I'm going to go right to our Father's Word with it. Okay? We take it right back to Scripture. Okay? So if anybody has a problem with it, hey, you don't have the problem with me because I've told the truth according to Scripture. You got a problem with the Father as is recorded in His Word. Okay? So we're going to be going through this, family. I pray that everybody's ready for some more good truth. Okay, truth is lacking, but we're going to get to the truth. And I'm going to have a special guest with me today, a family member who's going to be reading for me. I'm going to bring him on in a second. Maybe two readers, I don't know, maybe two. But family, I just want to first of all apologize because I had to cancel our Shabbat show last week and another show I had posted. That's why I posted this one today because sinus was something else for me up here. I was in the bed for about 3 days straight, lost my voice, all kind of stuff. My computer has been down for a whole week, just got it back after 5 o'clock today. Been going through the ringer up here. But, you know, the Father's word is true. He said that the scriptures would be spoken to all four corners of the earth. And that's what we're going to do today. Okay? Regardless of anything, any evil attacks I might have received, because we're teaching the truth here, hey, we're here today, and we're going to continue speaking His word, His truth. Before we get started, family, I ask everyone to raise their hands, and let's just say hallelujah and give credit and praise to our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just say hallelujah. Father, we say thank you, thank you, thank you for your preserved word that we can read and get understanding. We thank you for the set-apart spirit and the power that was given to your children, the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, and that remnant that you left behind to teach the others, to give understanding to the truth of the word. We thank you for the apostles, and we thank you for the prophets. We thank you for your preserved word, Father, whereby through the death, burial, and resurrection of our future King, our Redeemer, Yahushua. We are healed as a nation. The set-apart spirit now dwells within us. Your word says you will never leave us nor forsake us, even in time of tribulation. Let us not forget, Father, for all those who are going through tribulation, let us not forget the truth of your word. Let us meditate on your word build our faith, have understanding of the power that you have given your children. Wake us up to the truth of your word, where the truth is not being spoken too much in this end time. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all our brothers and sisters, all those lost sheep that come out to our show to get the truth of the word. Father, we ask that you reside here among us, pouring out the ruach. Overload them. Give them your truth. Give them your word, Father. Allow those scales to be removed from those who seek your face. Father, keep us in times of sorrow, in times of happiness. Father, we depend on you. We need you. We love you. We repent for all our sinful ways. We read the preserved word. That is our Hebrew history book. And we know what we've done wrong, Father, but we ask you, say hallelujah, Father, just forgive us. We turn from our sinful ways. We come out from among this wicked system, this babble, this confusion from the word that is spoken. We say, Father, forgive us for serving other gods and deities called Jesus, Lord, Mary, Allah, Buddha, Amun Ra. Father, we thank you that because we are healed, we have a one-way connection with you now, straight through Yahushua. There's no need for sin offerings. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that when you say come out from among them, you're talking about be separate right where you are, but come to the truth of your word. Worship only you, no fornication, no deities. You left us your word in Judges 2, Father. We're going to go through that, Father. Make sure that everyone that is in ear range of my voice can hear your words being spoken through me and get the understanding. Father, we say hallelujah. Let those who are meant to hear your truth of your word, let their ears be unblocked, let their eyes, the scales be removed so that only your truth flows in. Father, we say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Yahuwah, in Yahushua's set-apart name. We love you, Father. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, I tell you, family, I'm so glad to be back. I tell you, I miss y'all. I hope y'all miss me because I missed you guys. I missed you. Boy, I tell you, I'm so glad to be back. Hey, family, I'm going to bring on our brother here. Let me go ahead and get his mic open, okay? I tell you, I'm glad to be back. Hallelujah. Hoo-wah. Hey, Eric Code 770. Shabbat Shalom.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, Sister Georgia.
Shabbat hey, Shalom, Brother family. Chad.
Hey, what's going on, Sister Georgia? How you? I hear it. I hear it.
I feel good. This is a, look, this a beautiful day. Hey, I'm so glad you're here with us, brother. Is your wife on the phone, too? Is she going to be with us?
No, she's not. She's not with us. She's laying back. She's listening in, though. She's listening
okay,
in.
Okay, great. Hi, sister. I love you.
Yeah,
well,
she
brother,
is. She
we
is.
Get
I think
started
she got her line up. Yep.
Well, hey, she going to enjoy it regardless if she reads it with you or just listens, because this is going to be a wonderful
right.
lesson. And I do thank you for helping me out. We got Brother Chad helping me out, family, because my voice is cracking in and out, and I definitely need a reader today to get through some of this material. I'm telling you guys ahead of time, 3 hours, for you who called in, hope your phone is charged. Because you know that the second hour you get disconnected, you can't come back in to block
talk. Oh, yeah, you can't come back in there. Yeah, so my batteries are good for right now, but I got the charger on standby.
Well, you know what? I got my phone on standby, too. I got two of them. Shalom Pole Bear. Hey, I'm looking at the chat line, too, brother. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a wonderful show. I tell you, and I say show. Y'all know this is nothing but the word. This is us spending time with our Heavenly Father, where he's right in the midst of us, regardless if we're scattered across any of the four corners of the earth. So we just praise our Father and, you know, thank him for him. Who has given us this medium, even though we know the Gentiles have produced it all. But, hey, they can't do nothing without him, even the evil they do. Okay, enough. I don't want to have this going on a different tangent than what it is. But, brother, I'm going to really need you because we got some scriptures to go through today.
Yep, Sister Jordan, wherever you start, you lead the way, I follow. However you want to do it.
Hey, I go to the right, you go to the right. I go to the left. Okay,
right.
We're going to do that today. You know, we're going to do that today because you see, first, family and Brother Chad, I want to go over a couple things. I want to make sure that this is not escaping anyone's perception. You know, we have gone over it before, and I just want to quickly say it for anyone who is new that may be coming to our website. We don't preach anything that's prejudiced. We preach the Father's Word. Okay, you might be hearing some things for the first time that you've never heard before, but we're going to go through scripture to allow you to see with understanding, read it, hear it, and get the understanding that this is our Father's Word. Okay, you're going to be learning something new. What many people don't understand, and we keep continuously telling family members as well as newcomers, when they speak about the Gentiles, the sojourners, the strangers, the heathen, lost sheep, they're speaking of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're speaking of the Gentiles who are Hebrews. Okay, those sojourners were Hebrews. Those heathens were Hebrews. In specific scripture, the majority of it is speaking about us. This is our history book. You got to understand it. You got to know it. Okay? Now, before we get started, we have to first come into agreement within the scripture that Israel sinned. Okay? Israel sinned. And we're going to give understanding more and more about why is it that they start terming us Gentiles, and why did they start terming us strangers and lost sheep and so forth within Scripture? First, let's go to Hosea chapter 8, verse 14. I'm going to read it very quickly, but I'm giving you guys the book. I'm giving you guys the chapter. I'm giving you guys the verse. Write it down. When you go there, you're going to get understanding, and I'm going to precept this stuff real good for you because some people don't know. When you go to Hosea chapter 8, verse 14, it reads, "For Israel hath forgotten his maker." Okay, that's the important part right there. "And builded temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof." I read that scripture because in Hosea chapter 8, verse 14, it tells us a lot. First of all, Israel hath forgotten his maker. Okay, we know that Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. So it's talking about the Most High's people, okay? And then when it says he has forgotten his maker, that's important. And I'm going to show you why it's important. Because the reason why we were called Gentiles and strangers and sojourners and heathen and so on and so forth was because we knew not the Father. We knew not the Father. When you don't know the Father, and many of us who sit in religious systems today believe we know the Father because the enemy has told us who our Heavenly Father is. And they've told us in error, once again, who we are. And they've actually flipped the whole scriptures all around. So when we come into the truth and understand that, ooh, I've been calling on God, I've been calling on Lord, Jesus, maybe even Mary, I've been praying to the angels. You know, I've been doing a lot of things, all these wicked holidays. I've been participating in this. I'm starting to understand it now because you're going to get the understanding today, family. But we have to first understand what was it that Israel, all of Israel, why did they sin? And what condition did they get into once they sinned? See, people don't even realize this even ties into the mark of the beast. When we know not the Father, when we know not the Father, we have the seal of the mark of the beast on us. We don't have the Father's seal. When we come into the truth of what our Father's word says and we are serving our Father, we have the mark of Yahuwah. So keep this verse and meditate on it. Hosea 8:14, Israel hath forgotten his maker. Our maker is Yahuwah. He is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the one that formed man, talking about Adam, Genesis chapter 5, from the dust of the ground and blew the breath of life into him, taking Eve out of the same DNA makeup, which is your rib. Look it up in the Strong Concordance. But that lineage, that called lineage, came from Genesis chapter 5. Totally different from the other creations. That's all I'm going to say on that. I don't want to digress. But if you guys easily go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22, Paul lets us know. See, our people don't realize that we are the Gentiles in the new covenant. Okay, if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2, it says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." And we're going to go, why were we led to these dumb idols? Because a lot of people don't teach Judges, too. A lot of people don't get the understanding that we were scattered right at the top of Babel under Nimrod. We were scattered, too. People just want to say, well, the scattering took place, you know, when the siege of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., this is after Yahushua said what he was going to say about not one stone being left on the building, you know, of the temple. Well, we can go there today and know that that piece of land called Israel, not a nation of people, but just a made-up nation, that building structure, well, shoot, they got a whole wall people are bouncing up against. They just don't want to love the Father's word. They read it, but, hey, there's a reason why. You see, family, you have to know that Paul is telling you, Paul was a Benjamite. He was an Israelite. You can get that from Romans, chapter 9 through 11, whatever. Get it. Understand it. He said,
George,
he's talking to...
Sister George, uh-huh. I got it right here. I was just thinking about that verse for you. That's over in Romans 11, verse 1. He says, Romans 11, verse 1, says, "I say then, have Yahuwah cast away his people? Yahuwah forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin."
Thank you, brother. Oh, see, I love it. Family, I hope y'all writing all this down because some people don't know this. Paul is, when one part he'll say he was a Roman and all this stuff, Paul was a Hebrew, okay? Mm-hmm. We're going to get some understanding. Thank you, brother. Did you want to say anything else about that?
Yeah, and also I'm trying to find that other scripture where, you know, basically the commandments and everything are pertaining to the Israelites. I want to say it's over in Romans as well. I want to say around Romans 9.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of my show notes, so we're going to get to that one in a second. But I want to kind of tie something in real quick for everybody. You see, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2 says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles." He's speaking to the Hebrews. He's speaking to the lost sheep. "Ye know that ye, you Hebrews, were Gentiles, carried away." What made you a Gentile? Because you were carried away unto these dumb idols. You know, that's part of the commandments. We're not supposed to worship, serve any false deity or anything except for our Father, Yahuwah. Even as we were led. That goes into Judges 2. But I'm going to take you guys quickly. And, brother, if you don't mind, open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Family members, I'm going to give you guys the link. Okay, I'm going to give you guys the link to where we're going here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're only going to read a few verses out of there, but I want to make sure that everybody is following along. Take the time to open up your Hebrew. Okay, your Hebrew history book. Uh-oh. Let me go ahead. I see me clear it up. Okay, fam, I took care of that. Sorry about that. We had somebody who didn't like the truth there. There's your link right there, family. I'll try to watch that chat board a little bit more today. Sorry about that. When we go to 1 Thessalonians, brother, if you could just read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, go ahead and read for me just the first 5 verses.
All right. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, starting at the first verse. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Yahushua, Yamashiach, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and how to please Yahuwah, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we given you by Yahushua. For this is the will of Yahuwah, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lust of consumptuance, even as the Gentiles, which know not Yahuwah.
Thank you, brother. And I'm going to tell you, people like to use that and say, okay, well, you know, I made the mistake too before I came into the truth who these Gentiles are. You see, that's talking about the other nations. No, 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 no. You will get the understanding before we finish with this year's shows and the lessons we're going to be doing. You're going to get the understanding. These Gentiles right here are the lost sheep. If you read it all, you will get that understanding. Because he tells us, now this is in Thessalonians, this is Paul. Paul says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, okay? And remember, Paul was out there teaching, okay? It says the Gentiles he went out to teach too. But those Gentiles that he went out to teach was still us. But he tells us how to please the Most High. Okay, what is the will of the Most High? What is it? It says that ye should abstain from fornication. And we're going to get to what that fornication is. That every one of you know how to possess his vessel, your bodies, okay? In sanctification and honor, not in the lust of conspicuous science. I don't know, conspicuous. Even as the Gentiles, even as those lost sheep, which knew not Yahuwah. You got to understand that when you know not the Father, okay, you're considered a Gentile. That's the word in the new covenant. You know not the Father. You're a lost sheep. They use the word Gentile to throw you off. To not give you the understanding. But we read in Hosea 8, verse 14, for Israel hath forgotten his maker, which means they knew not the Father. You see, this is what Judges 2 is all about. This is what Judges 2 is all about. Family, I want to precept this for you guys. I want to precept fornication, Gentiles, and the true enemy of the Hebrew nation. Because you see, this they don't want out. Who is really the true enemy? We know we can read in Genesis 3:15 that there's going to be enmity between they call it the serpent seed, because it says, from thy seed, speaking to the serpent, that most beguiling beast of the field, and then it speaks to the Israel, which came from Adam's genealogy, but it says the seed of the woman. And you see, the seed of the woman, why do they say seed of the woman? We know the word seed means progeny. But see, family, the seed also means the set-apart spirit. That's what that seed is. He preserved that set-apart spirit. He gave it back to us when the dry bones. That's how he preserved us. He preserved us many ways. But the seed, when they say seed, they ain't talking about, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the lineage is not right. I'm saying when it comes to the seed, he is talking about the set-apart spirit. And you're going to get understanding to that as shows go on. Because I know some people are already like, what's she talking about? I don't want to dwell on that too long. I shouldn't have threw it out because some people won't understand it, but we're going to get to it. So get an understanding that when you know not the Father, that's when they're calling you a Gentile. That's when you consider a lost sheep, okay? Now let's get some precepting and some understanding and find out really who that true enemy is, because this is going to make a big difference in a lot of things we're going to learn in the future. When you go to Judges 2, brother, can you go to Judges 2 for me, family? Go ahead and flip over to Judges chapter 2. Now, I've read this before, but we just read, family, it's important to note. When you get to Judges chapter 2, go ahead and begin at, we're going to start reading at verse 10. But if you're paying attention, family, it told us, and you got to understand these things. Hosea 8 lets you know that Israel had forgotten his maker, okay? We know that we were scattered because of this. We understand that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2, that Paul is letting us know that we were considered Gentiles in past, okay, carried away with these dumb idols, okay, even as we were led. Then we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 5 tells us, even as the Gentiles which knew not Yahuwah. So even as the lost sheep who knew not Yahuwah. When we get to Judges chapter 2, brother, go ahead and read verses 10 to 14 to get some understanding about why were they called lost sheep, Gentile, heathens, and every other name in the book?
All right. Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, starting at verse 10. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not Yahuwah, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahuwah, and served Balaam. And they forsook Yahuwah of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked Yahuwah to anger. And they forsook Yahuwah, and served Balaam and Asherah. And the anger of Yahuwah was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies.
Okay, thank you, brother. Now, family, we just read, I've got to bring you there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5. It told us these Gentiles we know are lost sheep, because what is the criteria? The criteria is knowing not the Father. Knowing not the Father. We just read the same thing in Hosea 8:14. Israel had forgotten his maker. We were known as Gentiles in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. By the time we get to Judges chapter 2, it gives you a understanding of who those Gentiles are. What was that condition met to make you a Gentile or a heathen or a stranger? Judges chapter 2, family, it told us in verse 10. And also after that, when we were going into the promised land, okay, that was given to us, it says, when we got in there, it says, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, the ones that came out of Egypt, the ones that went through fighting off them hybrids in the book of Numbers and Joshua, okay, the same ones that when they got into the promised land, they did not get the heathen from among them. So, right, they were right in the midst of all these heathens. The Father told us that after that generation were gathered unto their fathers, meaning they had died off, and there arose another generation after them. And it tells us which knew not Yahuwah, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So they knew not the Father. See, they got people in churches today thinking they know the Father. They don't know that they're the lost sheep. They don't know that they really don't know the Father. You go a little further. It will tell you what we did as far as the fornication. I don't know. Somebody's calling me. I pray you guys can hear me. Anyhow, the fornication. All you got to do, family, is read verses 12 and 13 to understand that fornication. Fornication is speaking of when we forsook our Father, okay, and we started following the other gods, okay, the other gods, all these fake gods, these deities, the gods of the other nations, okay, that were round about us, just like today. Just like today, wherever we're scattered, all these nations got their gods and deities. And you could better believe many of our people are still following these gods and these deities and bowing themselves unto them and provoking Yahuwah to anger. They knew not him. They don't know that God, when you go in Christianity, is not speaking about our Father, because his name is Yahuwah. God is a title. Yahuwah is his name. They know not the Son. Yahushua is the Savior, the Redeemer, the Son of the Most High. It's not Jesus Christ. That's a deity. Okay, they don't know this. They don't know there's no J in the Hebrew even today. The Aramaic, the Latin, or Greek even today. It was only added to the English language, 1400s, 1500s? Okay? 1400 or 1500s. The scriptures were written before then. Okay? So where did this Jesus character come from? They don't know who they're serving. They're lost sheep. They're Gentiles. Now, they won't teach you about who our true enemies are in prophecy, okay? They will not teach you about who the true enemy is, because once we really start getting into Scripture, and we're going to be starting to get into this in the shows to come, you're going to find out, the Father's been revealing, family, and it's going to be so good to give it to you. When you go to Genesis 3:15, I keep telling everybody, what is the difference between Cain and Abel compared to Esau and Jacob? What's the difference? Because technically both of them had a different spirit. Both of them had a different spirit. What's different is Cain was a Hebrew, believe it or not. He just would be considered a lost sheep. But for our people, that would be a serpent seed. Now, Esau was from a whole different nation. They told what he looked like. Hey, he was red all over like a hairy garment. He was from a different nation. He liked to eat red meat. He's going to be here in the end over Jacob and tell you Yahushua comes. Ruling. That's what he's going to be doing. Ruling right now in the end. Hey, he's from a different nation. He's not a Hebrew. Okay? He's not. He's a Gentile, but the right type of Gentile, the other nation Gentile. Cain's lineage was a Hebrew, but Cain's lineage would be considered a Gentile lost sheep. We'll get into that a little bit more later, family. I just want to throw that out. If you don't get it now, don't worry. Keep following us. I'm going to break it down further. But you got to know what that fornication is. What type of fornication were we doing? Our Father tell us to stay away from fornication. It's pleasing to him. And you get that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of Yahuwah, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Possess ye your vessels, okay, in sanctification and honor. Okay, not in the lust of this world, but who does it? Because they know not the truth. They know not the Father. Well, the lost sheep. It says, even as a Gentile, which know not Yahuwah. They fornicate. They're worshiping other deities and gods and not knowing it. Family, they won't teach you about who your true enemy is. See, when this word come out, if you're finding out that all Israel, this is our Hebrew history book, is talking about the wickedness of the heart of certain people. That's why they're considered Gentiles in the New Covenant. It's talking about them not knowing the Father. They went into the ways of the heathen. When it says come out from among them, it's talking about a spiritual understanding. They're lying to you. They tell you to love your enemy when we know you can't love somebody hanging you from a tree. It ain't possible. You can't love somebody who hung you on a tree just like Yahushua, your ancestors. They tied our ancestors to what? Poles and scorched our skins just like Yahushua. You learned the wrong enemy. See, you learned that the Gentiles were all the other nations and we're supposed to love everybody. We all want to lie. Just like when they get to these names, Romans, and say that they're bringing them in, engrafting them in. Come on. Let's get to the truth, family. We're going to go right now, brother. We're going to go to Judges chapter 2. I want you to read verse 21 to 23. This is what they're not going to teach you about the enemy. Who's the real enemy? You're going to find out who that true enemy is in Judges chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. Let's go there.
All right. Judges chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, starting at verse 21. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of Yahuwah to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore, Yahuwah left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hands of Joshua.
All right, thank you, brother. Hey, the other nations. That's who those nations are. Those are non-Hebrew nations. Remember, we were going to conquer our land. We didn't get them off the land. Now we're scattered right in the midst of all these other nations. Now we're being called by their names. You will probably call me an American when I'm a Hebrew. You're going to find that all this is important when understanding the word. If you have one of our brothers and sisters who's in Africa, you're going to be calling them an African when, no, they're a Hebrew living in the continent of Africa. Same ones with the people who live out in Alaska, they're Hebrews. Okay, we're going to find out that they throw these words at you and call you different names because you're scattered. We're scattered amongst all the other nations, but we're still the Hebrews. Don't let the words, the English words, twist you up, mess you up in the head. When you get the understanding that our Father told us, because we did not get these heathen nations from among us, we didn't hearken, we didn't obey. All the way from the garden, we didn't obey. Now we're right in the midst of these other nations. And he tells us, because you did not hearken to what my word said, you didn't obey, I will also henceforth not drive any of the mother nations from before before you. They're going to stay right where they are, the ones that Joshua left. We know Joshua left. We can go read about that in the Old Covenant. Okay? And those other nations are non-Hebrews. But he tells you something that's really important. He tells you that through these nations, these other nations that were left there, that he is going to prove Israel. Now, these other nations got together to make the name of Israel no more in remembrance. But specifically, the tabernacles of Edom did something really crafty. Okay? Tabernacles of Edom, that other nation. We know Esau is Edom. That's Rome. That's your white man. Don't get mad because I say the truth. But if you get this understanding, family, that what they did was they taught you a lie. They laid open the book of the law and showed you different pictures of their heathen images. They taught you that you were a Hamite. You know, they taught you all these lies. They taught you that the Jews and the Gentiles are, well, that's the Jewish people, or Christianity converted now Jewish people or whatever. There were no J in that Hebrew. Okay, that's a recently added word, but the chosen people, or, you know, you're the Gentiles, but you get to be bought into. Everything's a lie. No, the Father's word says it doesn't change, and it's not coming back void. That word Jew shouldn't be in there. That word should be Hebrew. And when you get to the Gentile, it should be lost sheep of the house of Israel. With the understanding when Paul says that I'm a Roman, we know he said he was a Benjamite. There's no miscalculations in what he said. You got to know this, because when we go to Bathsheba, you better know what's going on, family. You better know we're going to get there. But he's leaving these nations, and they've changed the words. They've made their own definition of the words. They took in the word nation in the scripture, which is a people, and changed it to a piece of land. They've taken the word, which is Israel, and now changed that to a piece of land, the nation of Israel. They've done that, and you know it if you go look it up. If you take time to study and show yourself approved, you'll get it. I don't know why this person is driving me crazy, beeping my phone. Forgive me, family, because they just keep calling. But anyhow, let's get back on topic here. Now, why it tells us in Judges chapter 2, verse 23, and y'all got to get this because it all lines up. In Judges chapter 2, verse 23, after the father let the angel come down from Bochum to talk to the children of Israel and chastise them and tell them, hey, why don't you get them nations off? I'm leaving them nations, and I'm leaving their deities there to try you, okay? And I'm not driving them off the land. They're going to be thorns in your side. That's what they're going to do to you. They're going to be setting pits and traps for you. By the time you get to verse 23, he tells you, therefore, Yahuwah, our father, he did not drive those nations out hastily, okay? He left them right there. He said he's leaving those nations to prove Israel, to see if Israel's going to pick up our history book and know the truth when you read it. Know the truth. We got a lineage given to us in the new covenant. Yahushua's lineage, all the way from Adam. You go, when, just because you read a word Hittite, does that mean that we brought other nations in? When you hear people saying that, oh, those Gentiles be bought into, that's every other nation. Ah, no, they lied to you. They lied to you. The Father's word said he's leaving them other nations that approve you. The books they took, I'll tell you how they laid the book of the law open and changed the images to fool you and prove you. When it says that Yahushua's hair was white like wool, he had white hair that was woolly, Afro style. When it says his feet were like fine brass is not white, as if burnt in a furnace, baby. It gets darker. Anything you throw in the fire get darker. Don't look at that picture and that image of the deity called Jesus and believe that's the truth. The nations are there to prove you. Do you really want to know the truth of who these Gentiles are, who these stranger sojourners and so forth are in the scriptures? Are you supposed to bring in all the other nations? Didn't Yahushua said, I came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Oh, so now you can convert into being a people? They only do that in religion. They don't do it in the scripture. Father never did it in the scripture. He let you know he's changing not. He had a people. He sent his son for his people. he put the apostles to teach his people. When he said Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Family, going to get to it. Understand this. Now, why is it that the Father says he's not driving them nations off hastily? Well, you got to know, just by reading the Word, by understanding the prophets, that judgment time for the nations are coming at the very end. Prophets talked about it. It's in their Word. Edom not gone. I know some people go and make drum rolls and tell you Edom gone, but there was a whole prophecy. There's many prophecies for Edom. For all these nations out here. Same nations you're going to read about in Psalms 83. See, they changed their names, but the Father, if you're not his people, you see, we're getting judged already. A lot of us are going through chastisement and so forth. Now, we got to get that contrite spirit out of us and get back with the Father in truth. But these other nations ain't gone through no kind of chastisement. That's why they're heading me to tell. Why you think that Esau said that he would have the fatness of the land and would rule by the sword? That's murder. That's murder. And I don't see anyone out of Edom being tortured for the true word of the Father. And I said the truth of the Father's word. I'm not talking about because they want to tell you, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm a martyr for Jesus. I ain't talking that because the word don't say it. No other nation has been judged for any of the dirtiness and the lying and the corruption that they have done and how they come against the Most High's people, the apple of his eye, and teach them that they're Buddhists and they're Allah worshipers and you are Egyptologist and you are African and you this and you that. Father's word tells us what we are. It tells us how we got in that condition. Let's go on because this is going to give you the understanding for the Hittite. Now, we know that all is speaking of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm going to read something for you guys really quick. Okay, I'm going to take you to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. I'm going to begin at verse 1. This is just some examples of what you've been lied to about. I'm going to read it for you. It says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated with them that the gospel which I preach among the, it says Gentiles, but that's the lost sheep family, the ones who knew not the Father. Paul preached that to the lost sheep, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He tells you in verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek. Look, the word never tells us to go to other nations. You've been deceived. That word Greek is talking about Titus lived. He was from Greece. He wasn't a Greek. It says, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek. He was a Hebrew living in Greece or coming from Greece, was compelled to be circumcised. Well, everybody think that's a Gentile, one, the covenant that, you know, we have with our father through Abraham with the circumcision. No. Remember, if they knew not the Father, many of our people had gone into the ways of the heathen. Not all the Hebrews had gotten circumcised. They had learned the ways of the Gentiles, the other nations. So it tells us right here, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, these false brethren are your serpent seed. These are your lost sheep that deliberately had a contrite spirit, not the set-apart spirit, that want to teach you the law, make the way of the kingdom hard for the true children to get into the kingdom. They want to teach you a different gospel, which is reading out the same book. But it tells us, and that because a false brethren unaware bought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which many Hebrews don't like that liberty, I talked about it already, which we have in Yahushua, that they might bring us into bondage. Family, jump to verse 7. It says, the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul. Okay, who's that uncircumcision? Well, that's the Hebrews who knew not the Father. They went into the ways of the Gentiles. Gentiles were not getting circumcised back in the day. Y'all think they were. No, they weren't. When they stole our heritage and lied to us, because they knew, you could read about it in the scripture, they knew the Father had turned his back on us because of what we did. Because we did not hearken, we did not obey. He knew that they were being used to chastise us. Okay? So now they start circumcising themselves. But they weren't circumcising themselves. It says the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto Paul, because Paul went out to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were the lost sheep who were living among the other nations and doing like the other nations. And then it tells you, as the gospel of the circumcision was with Peter. We talk about Jews and Gentiles. We're talking about Hebrews who know the Father, and then we're talking about Gentiles who don't know the Father. They were all still Hebrews. They were all still Hebrews. You go down to verse 14. I'm going to give you a couple more examples. It says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Hebrew livest after the manner of the lost sheep, they put the word Gentile, I'm putting the right words in, think about it, I'm going to read it again. Those words are Gentile. When I say lost sheep, that's what they put in there to deceive you. Let's go to the truth. It says, but when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Hebrew, living after the manner of the lost sheep, and not as do the Hebrews, why compellest thou the lost sheep to live as do the Hebrews? Now, you got to go back and read. But, I mean, it's clear. Well, that I hope I got it. I don't know if I wrote, I didn't write it in there. I'm sorry, family. I believe I got this out of, I didn't write it. But this is just telling you when they were trying to eat and they were separating themselves. And I think this is in Peter's. I got this out of Peter. But when you go into Peter, you get the understanding. The Hebrews who were out there supposed to be teaching, and many of them were separated from the lost sheep who knew not the Father, and many people try to do that stuff today. I've been hearing it on radio sites. Oh, you got to separate from your family. You ain't got to separate from your family. It's spiritual. You got to set an example for the lost sheep. We got to get this stuff straight. But it's telling our people. This Gentile they talk about, this is lost sheep. He was talking to the Hebrews who knew the Father. Why are you doing this thing? When you go, guys go to these scriptures, I'm going to have them listed perfectly in my show notes. But it tells you, you go a little further, I'm going to read it all, 14 and 15. It says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Hebrew, livest after the manner of the lost sheep, and not as do the Hebrews, why compellest thou the Hebrews or the lost sheep to live as do the Hebrews? We who are Hebrews by nature and not sinners of the lost sheep, because the lost sheep knew not the Father. This is important to get, family. Take you a few more places and then we're going to be done with this, but I got to bring it in. Galatians 3, I'm going to read two verses, verse 1 and 14. The new covenant kept going back and forth, confusing you, telling you they brought all these nations in. Check it out. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 14. O foolish Galatians, Paul is teaching them, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yahushua had been evidently sent forth, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, crucified among you? Who hath bewitched you? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the lost sheep through Yahushua, that we might receive the promises of the set-apart spirit through faith. They put the word Gentile. Everybody believes when you go back to, I think it's in 15, Genesis 15, if I'm not mistaken, and it says that through Abraham all the nations are going to be blessed. Those nations were us scattered amongst all the other nations. They were Hebrews, lost sheep that went into the ways of the Gentiles. Go back to Judges 2, go forward. Even understand when we came out of Egypt, our people, the first thing they wanted to do was build an idol like the Egyptians, a golden calf. We are those stranger sojourners. We were known as any name but Hebrews because we knew not the Father. We did fornication, which is spiritual fornication, which is serving another deity, because we knew not our Father. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you, family. So he tells you that this blessing, Now, we're talking about the lost sheep who are Hebrews, but they're being called Gentiles. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the lost sheep through Yahushua, that we might receive the promise of the set-apart spirit through faith. And that was only given to the Hebrews. Go to Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 19. I'm going to read it quick. I just want y'all to understand. Ephesians 2, write it down. I'm reading from verse 11 through 19. Understand this. Wherefore, remember that ye being in past times, or in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Yahushua, ye knew not the Father, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without Yahuwah in the world. But now in Yahushua, ye who sometimes were far off, you were scattered, are made nigh by the blood of Yahushua. For he is our shalom, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity. What enmity? Genesis 3:15. Go through the whole scriptures, understand the Father was always killing off certain Hebrews. They were always warring against, they want to say the, look, we're going to hit it. I don't want to hit it all today, but you go back and you understand that that serpent seed was right within Israel. That makes you wonder, well, wait a minute. If you're saying that the Gentiles are sojourners and strangers, this is all about Israel. Well, what happened to the other nations? We're going to get to that in shows to come. But know who these people are. It's talking about your enemy. Your enemy could be of your same household as you. Same household as you. That's who you got to pray for and love. It's easy to love somebody loving you, but when you got somebody contrary in spirit and they want to rebel against the truth of the word and they want to call you you prejudice, you this, you that, you look. That's who you're praying for, your brethren. Because Cain was a Hebrew, but Cain was considered a lost sheep. Cain was considered a Gentile. Cain was considered a serpent seed. Because it tells us why Israel slept, while the parable of the wheat and tare, while the wheat slept, that's Israel, the enemy came and planted a seed. While the Hebrews slept, the enemy came in and planted a seed. It's a spiritual seed. The seed is a spirit. And then that enemy went his way. He said, let the two grow together. Because at the end time is when it's all going to be said and done. We know the other nations got their judgment coming, but we're talking about that the people who creep in unawares, the ones who usually was calling a den of vipers. We're talking about the ones who were blaspheming the truth of the Father's word. Right there with Israel. He never said, hey, you white. Oh, I'm black. I know I'm a Hebrew and the Hebrews are black, but you white. It never said that because they look just like us. It never mentioned that Cain looked any different from Abel. It only said that Esau was from a different nation, and it showed what he looked like. They didn't tell what Jacob looked like because everybody knew what the Hebrews looked like. Said he was red and hairy like old garments. He liked to eat red raw meat. He's a hunter. It told us that he's going to slay his brother Jacob, which is the dark race people. We know what's going on in the scripture. Family, let's get it right. It says, going back to Ephesians 2, I think I left off by, I'm going to read 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain two different, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between two, okay? He says, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making shalom, and that he might reconcile both unto the Most High in the body of the tribulation and the persecution that Yahushua went under, having slain the enmity thereby through the resurrection. It says, and came and preached shalom to you which were afar off. You were scattered. You went to these other nations. Some of us still are, but we don't leave the other nation. We just come into the truth. And to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one spirit. Hey, you either got, that's what makes you called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why are few chosen? Because you got a lot of people, they don't know the Father. They got a contrite spirit. It's not sent from our Father. It's sent from another source. But what did he tell him in Genesis chapter 4 for Cain? Hey, if you do well, if not, sin lieth at the door. Family, there's a lot to be said on that. I'm just going through it. It says, and came and preached. Now, this is verse 17 of Ephesians 2. It says that he might conceal both unto Yahuwah in one body. Okay. Then you go to 17. It says, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one spirit, one set apart spirit, unto our Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers. You're no more Gentiles. You're no more foreigners. You're no more lost sheep. Hey, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of the Most High Yahuwah. Family, I got a lot more on my page. I'm not going to read. I'm going to get to today's lesson. We're going to go into Bathsheba. Because they said that she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, we got to go there. You got to understand that both the Old Covenant and New Covenant, they've been hiding all this stuff from you. But we're going to see what the Father's words say. We're going to see if this is our history book. We're going to see if those words were put there to deceive you. If those images that keep flashing in your face wasn't there to deceive you. What does our Father say? He said he's leaving them nations that are try you to prove you. Are you going to hearken to him? He's telling us what it is in his word, baby. We're going to hit it. Okay, let's go to 2 Samuel. I get so hyped up. I've been waiting for this show, y'all. Wow. Okay,
2
Samuel.
Sure.
My voice is starting to go, y'all know. I got to have my brother on.
I just got one thing to say, Sister Georgia. You're just going through precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and you just, you hitting it, and you laying the foundation. So, I mean, for those that are really operating in the Ruach, I hope they're getting that understanding. That's all I got to say on that part. Because, I mean, you hitting it right there.
Father willing. Father willing, the message will go out. The truth will go out.
Right.
And what I'm going to do, brother, I'm going to go ahead and get the chat line, the link, in case they want to follow us. I know a lot of people don't like this stuff because I had to erase a couple messages just now on the chat line. But, you know, hey, that's the way it is. The Father, Yahushua said, they first hated me. They're going to hate you for telling the same truth. Let's get to that truth, brother. Go ahead and begin reading 2 Samuel chapter 11. I gave it to the chat line already.
All right, 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting at verse 1, it reads, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elamon, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and David sent, sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mass of meat for the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, comest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in all the fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thou soul livest, I will not do this thing. Verse 12. And David said unto Uriah, tarry here today also and tomorrow, and I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David said unto him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at eve he went out to lie down on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the front of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Verse 18. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war to the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Know ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Sister Georgia? I'm kind of caught up on this word.
I think it's Jerubasheth.
Yeah, Jerubasheth, I'm sorry. Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in the bed? Why yet ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us in the field, and we were upon them even until the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thou shalt say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased Yahuwah.
All right. Thank you, brother, because that was quite lengthy. I appreciate it. Family, we're going to go through this because, you see, you got to ask yourself, well, I can bring so many verses that we just read. I'm going to bring them up, too. Why is it that they had to keep pointing this man as a Hittite out to you? And, see, if you have understanding what they showed you in the Ten Commandments, I watched that movie. It's called, what was it called? The one with Moses. It's called the Ten Commandments. You go watch that, and they show you this Gentile man, and when he come out with all the so-called Hebrews, which are all white now, they got the little boy, he point, he say, look, Daddy, the Nubians, because they want to show you, and it got to be ingrained in you that all these people who were the strangers and sojourners were of another nation. First of all, they show you the wrong people, but then they're going to show you a black one. See, that's all the other nations. That's your strangers and sojourners that were with Israel. They taught you a lie. Now we're reading in 2 Samuel chapter 11 right here. We're reading how they talk about Bathsheba, her husband Uriah the Hittite. Hey, we got to go there, family. We have to go there. It was distinctly put that you're supposed to believe that Uriah as well as Bathsheba were Hittites from a different nation. You're supposed to believe that the lineage of Yahushua was polluted. You're supposed to believe this. Let's go there. Let's go there and get a little understanding. By the time you get, let's just jump straight to verse 3. It says that David sent and inquired after the woman. He was looking at Bathsheba. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? See, because you're supposed to say, oh, that's a different nation. We know those Hittites were African. We African. No, we're not Hamites. We're not Hamites. And that pure, precious seed, that set apart spirit, did not go to all the other nations. We ain't bringing all these other nations in. They're not the sojourners. They're not the strangers. They throw that word Hittite in there to confuse you. Let's go a little further. We're going to get the understanding. It says, go to verse 17, family. Go to verse 17. I'm going to show you how they want to confuse you. You keep reading this, and then with the images they put on these TV shows, by the time you get to 17, they got to put it out there again. Listen how they word it. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. You got to point him out with that same title as Hittite, because you got to believe he come from a different nation. Hey, we're going to go further. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. Go to verse 21. 21 reads, who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbasheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of a milestone or millstone upon him from the wall that he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. They keep putting this Hittite where you're supposed to believe that this is somebody from a different nation. Let's go there. 24, it says, and the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servant, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. See what I'm saying, family? Y'all getting it? Y'all, I pray y'all understanding what they're doing. Now we got to look at this. We got to look at this. Remember I told you Uriah. It's spelled in the Old Covenant, U-R-I-A-H. Pay attention. Go to, and I'm going to give everybody the link so that you can go there. I want you to see something. You got to be able to see it and know it. You ain't going to just take my word for it. We're going to see what does thus say the Father, what was preserved in our history book for our understanding. You're going to get it. I'm going to give you guys the link. There you go. For the people at home, what I gave the family members the link to was Matthew's chapter 1. We're getting ready to go into the king's lineage, okay? This is the king line, because remember, they're talking about Uriah the Hittite. Now, just pay attention. I want you to see what they do. By the time you get to verse 6 of Uriah, because they're starting off with Yahushua, the son of David, the son of Abraham, they're going to go backwards, actually. They're going to go all the way to, let's see. Well, I only went to, they're going to go all the way to, let's see, Joseph and Mary. Okay, the point is, you get to chapter, verse 6. Verse 6 of Matthew's 1 is what I'm getting ready to read. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her, which is Bathsheba, that had been the wife of Uriah. So at this point, if you don't know any better, at least you would consider that maybe Uriah was a Hittite, but Bathsheba was a Hebrew. Because you could go in the book of what, Judges chapter 3? I think that's where it's at. Hold up a second. I don't know if I wrote it down. I didn't write it down, but you go there and it tells you that when we went into the land of our enemies, okay, which was our promised land, we didn't get them off the land. Father said, I'm leaving them there to try you, to prove you Israel, to see if you're going to hearken to me or to them. We kept getting the Father mad against us, Israel, you know. So we look, the first thing that happened, and don't get mad because I say it, it said that the men took the strange wives of the other nations and they gave their daughters to the other nations. So you get the understanding that it only says Uriah the Hittite was Bathsheba, a Hebrew. Well, family, I'm gonna jump through the punch. Bathsheba and Uriah were both Hebrews, and I'm going to prove that to you. But you see, I got to show you that. Because if you go and look the way they word things, and they won't say her name, they just said that in this lineage, in this kingly lineage, this leads to Yahushua. Okay, both in Matthew chapter 1 as well as Luke chapter 3 is giving you that pure lineage, the cult lineage. It says that Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of her. We know that's Bathsheba, that had been the wife of Uriah. They pronounce it Urias, U-R-I-A-S. See, they throw it like that, and they don't even name Bathsheba because they're trying to trick you. You're supposed to believe that these are Hittites, that all the other nations, Israel just bought them in and was so happy to have them in there, and they keep lying and lying and lying. They won't even put his name the same way. Names don't change. If I go in Greece today, my name is still Georgia. If Brother Chad go in Africa, they still going to say Brother Chad. You know what I'm saying? So you got to pay attention to these things. They didn't name Bathsheba. They spoke of her husband Uriah, but they call him Urias in the New Covenant, which names don't change. Why did they do that? Why are they hiding the fact that these were Hebrews? Why do they keep pushing that word Hittite? Why did they lay open the book of the law and change that? Why did they tell you that you are Hamite? You see? Why did they put the word Gentile, strange, and all this and made you think that they're bringing in all these other nations? Why in 2013 we all won according to the world, not according to our Father's word? He said, be ye set apart, Kodesh, from the very beginning when he formed us in the garden. Well, he formed us outside the garden and made the garden for us. He formed us right along with the mother creations, but he made the garden to set us apart from the other nations from the beginning. And throughout the word, especially when we're going to our promised land, he said, be ye separate. Be Kodesh. Be set apart. Get them nations from among you. You see? But they taught you a lie. People want to say, well, it wasn't until when we went out of Egypt, the strangers sojourned. Hey, look, I can go there with you too. How many places you want to go? That's the question. How many places would you like to go in the scripture? This is our history book, family. They lied to you. Let's go some other places real quick. I'm not going to go through the priest line, which is Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38. You could do that on your own. And by the time you get to verse 31, it'll tell you. I'll just go through that one verse. It'll say, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. So you get an understanding. It goes, which was the son of Jesse, but it's going into the priest line. Okay, but hey, just go look at it if you want to. What you need to do is, let's focus on that word Hittite. I want to show you guys some. I'm going to give you the link where I'm at too, because I want to make sure everybody getting it. You're gonna see how they've done it, even in a strong concordance, to deceive you. They don't want you to know this truth. This is the truth you're supposed to know. Any other thing, you are doing against the Father's will by bringing in these other nations. I'm going to say it like it is. Let's go there. Okay, I'm going to get the link and just give it to you. Hold on, family. I'm going through the strong concordance. I sure hope that you guys are taking time to open up these links, save them, so you can go look through them later. If you're on the biblical Hebrews of the Bible, you'll have it in the show notes. There's your link. Go ahead and open it up. Let's see what it says. You know, it's put there. Let's see how much they want to hide this truth that Bathsheba and Uriah, although they call them Hittites, they were Hebrews. Let's look at it. The word Hittite is Hebrews 28:50. Hittite is Hebrews 28:50. What it will tell you for outline of biblical usage, it says Hittite, descendant of Heth. Now, everybody know that Heth came from Ham. That's an African, you know. Okay, the other dark race. Not the other white meat, but the other dark race. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about. It says descendant of Heth. It says the nation descended from Heth, the second son of Canaan, once inhabited of central Anatolia, modern Turkey, later in northern Lebanon. We know these places, northern Turkey and Lebanon, it's all a bunch of Edomites. But, you know, see, you ain't supposed to know that this Hittite, first of all, it definitely ain't white. It's not of Edom. But you're not supposed to know that it's not from Ham either. You're supposed to know that this particular Hittite that they're speaking of is somebody living in the land. And they were known as Hittites. But they were Hebrews living in the land with the Hittites when they were out there scattered. They went into the ways of the heathen. You're not supposed to understand this. You're not supposed to understand that that mixed multitude that came out. Well, hey, you go in the book of Genesis and find out that Rachel's father, or excuse me, her brother, Laban, he had his idols back then. He would be considered a Gentile, lost sheep, stranger, sojourner. He knew not. But look, Rachel and, not Rachel. Whose brother was that? Rachel. Okay, Isaac's wife. What was her name, brother? Wasn't it Rachel?
Isaac's wife, Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca. That's the word I'm looking for. Okay, you're not supposed to know that Rebecca's brother, Laban, had his idols. You're supposed to forget that Abraham's father, Terah, he had his idols. We were always doing this. Ain't nothing new underneath the sun. When they talk about those strangers, sojourners, and you got to figure out why is it that we built that calf immediately coming out of Egypt? That was our people. Don't get it. Look, don't get it twisted or confused. Let's go on. Now, the lie is that Uriah was a Hamite, but the truth is that he was a Hebrew dweller in that area. I have something else for you, and it's taken out of Net Bible. I don't believe there's any way I can give it to you except just go to a Net Bible and hit up the word Heth. Because when we went to the Strong Concordance for the word Hittite, it told you Hebrews 28:50, it said a descendant of Heth. When you go to the Net Bible, it'll tell you Heth. Okay, it'll say a person, people living in the land of Syro-Palestine. I don't care where they're living. The important part is it tells you that these people were living in the land. You know, if you take it with discernment and understand what was going on in the New Covenant as well as what we read in the Old Covenant, if the Father says there's nothing new, it's going to be the same kind of condition. We have been just taught through those who shouldn't have been teaching us, and we have seen those images put before our eyes many times. And once you keep from childhood being taught the same nonsense and seeing those images, then we all confuse. But this right here lets you know that Heth, it says a person, a people living in a land. That's all you need to know right there. Okay, let's go a little further because y'all think, oh, she that ain't enough information for me. Oh, well, we're going to take it further. I'm not done. Now, here's wisdom. Brother, do me a favor. I want you to go ahead. Are you on the chat line by any chance?
I can if you need me to go in there.
Well, I'm just going to give the link that I want read, and I'm posting it on the chat line. That way, if you can just open it up, it'd probably be easier for you to read it. I'm going to post it. Okay, it's posted. There's your chat line link. Family, for those of you who are at home, what I posted was 1 Chronicles chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, and then additionally I want to read 41 because we got to really get in good with this this Hittite nonsense, thinking this is another nation and so forth. But let's get a little bit of understanding. Go ahead and read 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles deals basically, family, we know that the books of Samuel and Kings, both 1st and 2nd books of each of them, all was one book at one time, but they had to separate it. And we've been going through those books, and we're still going through them to let you know, look where they separate the books at. Look how they did this. But there's another retelling of a lot of the things in both of those particular books when you go to Chronicles. And those genealogies are given for a reason. But when we go through 1 Chronicles, Chronicles chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 first, and then we're going to read verse 41. Go ahead, brother.
All right. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 1. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And Yahuwah said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore, come all the leaders of Israel to the king, to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before Yahuwah. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of Yahuwah by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore, they called it the city of David. And he built the city round about, even from Milo around about, and Joab prepared the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for Yahuwah was with him. These also are the chiefs of the mighty men who David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Most High concerning Israel. And over in verse 41, it reads, Uriah the Hittite, the dad, the son of Eliah.
All right, brother. Now, the reason why I had him read that is because if you go back to Chronicles, what we just read, 1 Chronicles, chapter 11, it tells you that all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. You keep reading it, it's still talking about the same people. And then by the time you get to the calling of these people who were under David, with David, Uriah the Hittite is mentioned there. That's just the same thing when you get to the 12 apostles and they tell you the one is, what was it? How do you put that? They make it sound like he's African too. I can't think of which one it is. Brother, you know what I'm talking about?
Right, yeah, where he said he was a Canaanite. One of the disciples was a Canaanite. I can look for it for you real quick, Sister Georgia. And I say it's like
while you're looking for that, I'm going to go on, but give it to me when you get it, okay?
Okay.
But I just want you guys to see, when you go start looking through Scripture, it actually defines itself. It lets you know that these were the bones of his bone, flesh of his flesh. These were his people. Uriah is mentioned there. But it's funny how they put in there again in verse 41, Uriah the Hittite. It's making you think that Israel is intermixing on the lineage that has to go from Yahuwah to Yahuwah, rather. Because we reading out the book of Chronicles. You know, this is old covenant. We're reading up that lineage that is going to lead to Yahushua from Solomon. Solomon married Bathsheba, had a child. That child was Solomon. Okay? So I also want you to understand that Bathsheba, you know, I want you just to think, if you still are in confusion, and some people may be, you got to ask, was Bathsheba the only one that was a Hebrew? Because they like to keep throwing Uriah the Hittite. But you're going to see where, if you didn't see it already, you're going to see what both of them were. Both of them were Hittites. I mean, excuse me, both of them were Hebrews. Oh, my goodness. Both of
yeah.
them were Hebrews.
Hey, Sister Georgia, I got that scripture for you.
Okay, thank you.
Matthew 10, verse 4, you know, the first three verses just breaks down the calling of the names and of the apostles or the disciples. And in verse 4 it says, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So, like you were just saying, you know, just because that name is attached to that certain individual, that's just like, you know, them calling us African Americans or whomever, or you know, they want to call us Americans. You know, they attach that, I guess, that surname to us, which we know we're really not who they say we are. You understand
what
I mean?
That's right.
So, yeah.
Exactly. You see, family, if you go to deceive a people who the whole, according to the scriptures and according to Psalms 83, all these nations were against us. The Father said, get them off the land in the book of Judges. He said, they're leaving them nations right here. They're still here today, right with us, proving us by telling us lies. But the Father says, you're going to hearken to me or to them. You're going to read the word and understand, or you want to just keep hearkening to them. They're going to tell you that you're nothing but an old Hamite, that you are ethnos. You anything but who you are. Okay? So if we go to Judges chapter 3, Judges chapter 3, I'm going to read it real quick. Verses 5 through 7. It says, and the children of Israel dwelt among who? Well, we're going into our promised land. We dwelled among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in sight of Yahuwah and forgot Yahuwah, their father. They knew not their father, and served Balaam and Ashtoreth, basically. But we served Balaam and the groves. Okay, so from Judges chapter 3, if you believe that later these are the same Hittites that is in the lineage of Yahushua, the same Hittites that were giants, that we were supposed to get off the land, just like many people believe that we took them same doggone hybrids that made it across the flood, and we, hey, come on in, be a sojourner, as if one homeborn when we came out of Egypt. If you believe that lie, when the father was telling Joshua, you know, making sure that they did not take these strange women, you go read about it at the end of Joshua. He told them to separate yourselves, get the people off the land. But now all of a sudden the world wants to tell us, and people believe in it, that, hey, bring them in. They're just like us. Bring them in. The Father's word got judgment coming on these people. Right here we're reading about the Hittites. They keep pushing the word Hittite, okay? They keep pushing that word Hittite because if you're reading, you're understanding that the children of Israel dwell among these people. So see, that Hittite in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, well, shoot, the same one that's in the lineage of Yahushua through King Solomon because of marrying Bathsheba, which is the her husband was Uriah the Hittite. You see, the Africans can come in, all the Gentiles can come in, because it's done right there. They have to keep putting that word Hittite is what I'm trying to tell you, because we already know those Hittites were in the land, the same ones we were told to get off the land. Didn't that also make you believe, if you read the story or the understanding of what happened with the child that Bathsheba and King David had, well, you see, that was because that was an African and all that stuff, you know, is a Hittite. That's why the father was displeased with him, and that's why the father killed off that child. Somebody going to believe that crap, because somebody in the world going to tell you that, because they're looking at those names and they're thinking that's non-Hebrew. No. He coveted his neighbor's wife. He was supposed to be putting judgment out. King David was supposed to be taking care of business. No, he coveted his neighbor, which is, who's your neighbor? See, many of y'all don't know who the neighbor is because, hey, spiritual Christianity, we all one. No, your enemy, your neighbor, your brethren that is spoken of in New Covenant is speaking about the Hebrew Israelites, that Gentile Hebrew Israelite, that lost sheep Hebrew Israelite. You better know the truth, who your enemy is. We're going to get to that enemy a little bit. I ain't going all over the way, but we're going to get there. Now, I want to read that so that you can understand. It talks about how the Hebrews took their daughters of the other nations, we just named them in 5 of Genesis chapter 3. It says the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Then they took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their children, the Hebrew daughters, to these other sons of these other nations, and they began to serve their gods. They knew not the Father. The children of Israel did evil inside the Most High and began serving the groves and Balaam. So, go a little further, family, because I want to show you something. Brother, go ahead and open up 1 Kings chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and I want you to do a comparison. I want you to do a comparison and get some understanding. And I'm going to go ahead and give everybody this link. 1 Kings chapter 11, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. We're going to tie this in so that you can't come up with no, George. And look, let's get to it. Whenever you're ready, brother.
All right, 1 Kings 11. Verses 1 through 4. It says, But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which Jehovah said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn you away. Turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Yahuwah, as was the heart of David his father.
Thank you, brother. I read that. Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
Yep, hello.
Oh,
I can hear
okay,
you.
I was making sure because my phone's kind of acting a little crazy here. Okay, I had our brother read 1 Kings chapter 11 because I wanted you to notice that it said that King Solomon loved many strange women. Remember, family, they keep talking about Uriah the Hittite. Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. They make you think that those people, Uriah and Bathsheba, were non-Hebrews. Then you get the understanding that in 1 Kings chapter 11, what Solomon did, okay, it said that he loved many strange women. So you're to believe that those Hittites, because they're mentioned right here in 1 Kings, that was who King Solomon took from as wives, okay, as women. He loved these women. It names the Hittites in there. See, this propaganda of lies to make you believe not the truth, this dispels the lies of all these nations coming in. I hope you're getting it. It told us that he loved many strange women. We're talking about King Solomon in 1 Kings 11, verses 1 through 4. It said the reason why the father was displeased with him, because when you take these strange wives, you're going to have fornication on you. They turned you away from the father. You began serving their gods and doing things for their gods. That's the problem, fornication. It never said that about Bathsheba. She was a Hittite, according to the word. When we read it, it's there, it's in English. But was she a Hittite? Was she a Hebrew living among the Hittites? And then she was known as Uriah, the Hittite's wife. You see what I'm saying? Right here, it tells you that King Solomon took these strange women. These women were not of Israel. Hittites were one of them. But more importantly, that they turned the heart of King Solomon after their gods. Remember, Judges 2, these nations are here to prove you, okay? Bathsheba was never turning David's heart away from the Most High. It would make no sense if she did that kind of thing and Solomon married her, had a child, which was David married her and had a son, King Solomon, in the lineage of Yahushua. It makes no sense, but it's letting you know right there. And it tells you in verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives, the Hittites, Okay, that Hittite that he married, he said, turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with our father Yahuwah, as was the heart of David his father. Well, David married a Hittite, right, according to the word, as is written in English, but that Hittite was a Hebrew. You see what I'm saying? They're going to keep throwing that word Hittite because you're supposed to believe that every foul blood lineage in this whole world could just become part of Israel. Spiritual Israel, the whole world Israel, not the true meaning of the word spiritual Israel, with a called lineage from a seed which had a set-apart spirit. You see what I'm saying? So we know that even though King David married so-called a Hittite, which was a Hebrew who lived out, she was born or whatever among the Hittites. So it's a King David, you know, his heart was with the father. He had married one. She didn't turn him away from it. But this one right here, this Hittite that in the Zidonians, the Edomites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the daughter of the Pharaoh, which is an African, it said that those strange women that King Solomon loved, that's what they did. Okay, let's go somewhere else. We've got to go somewhere else because you got to understand this. Brother, do me a favor. Let's go to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13, I'm going to put the link on the chat line for everybody, and we're going to be reading verses 23 to 26. Let me go ahead and give the chat line the link first. Give everybody so y'all can keep up with me, okay? This is all going to be in the show notes, but I want y'all to have it. There you go. Okay, brother, go ahead and read Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 to 26, please.
All right. Nehemiah 13, 23 to 26. Done at verse 23. In the days also saw I Hebrews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Amalek, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Hebrew language, but according to the language of each other. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by Yahuwah, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not King Solomon of Israel sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there not a king like him, who was beloved of Yahuwah, and Yahuwah made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin.
Okay, right there, family, you get to understand that these Hebrews married strange wives. That's what it's telling you. That's what it's telling you. And then it goes even further and tells you, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Well, we know it told us he had strange wives in chapter 11 of Kings. And we know the Hittites were mentioned, along with some other nations out there, but these were all of the other nations. It never said that about Bathsheba. It never said that. Y'all got to start paying attention to what it said. If we go to Ezra 9, verse 1, I'm going to go there with you. It reads, Ezra 9, verse 1, it says, Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations. Even the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. You see, family, we're reading in the book of Ezra. Y'all already know Ezra and all that come after Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. Nehemiah's the next one, then Ezra. Or Ezra, then Nehemiah. But what you got to understand is it's letting us know this was something that was always done among the Hebrews. We didn't separate ourselves. Today, we scattered amongst them. Now people figuring out the Hebrews, they think they got to ship themselves somewhere else. Everywhere you go, you go still be in the midst of these other nations because they're all over as well. We just got separated from our father, and we got pushed out amongst these other nations because we want to be like him so much. He gave us what we wanted. That's our chastisement. But the only difference is we are no longer the head. We are the tail. We have to come back righteously to him in truth and serve our Father with gladness. You see, it tells us, now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, this is Ezra chapter 9, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites, they have not separated themselves from the people of the land. See, they were doing according to their abominations. You wonder why we became Gentiles. We were known as strangers, as heathen, just like the other nations. Why did Yahushua have to come back for the lost sheep of Israel? When we know all those words just simplify and tell you that we knew not the Father. Lost sheep didn't know our Father. An ox knows his owner, an ass his master's crib, but my children Israel, my people, they don't consider what? That Yahuwah is our Father. Because we didn't hearken. See, we're going to keep going through this information, family, because you got to know Israel kept sinning. Israel kept doing exactly opposite of what the Father commanded us to do. But some people are going to say, Hittite, she wrong about that. That was a different woman.
I seen that movie here. They showed this, and it keeps saying Hittite. She's wrong.
Oh, I got to take you somewhere else. Let's go to 1 Samuel 21, if you have it. Open it up if you're at home. If you are on the chat line, I'm going to give you the link. We're going to be at 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 9 is what I'm going to have our brother read. You're going to get it. If you didn't get it with what we already read and the understanding, you're going to get it here. Because, see, I already know, when you come to our people, they got to see the scripture. Because they've been lying to you too much. I don't blame you. I want to see it too. Let's go there. We're going to hear about, we've been reading when we came into 1 and 2 Samuel, we've been reading about a person called Ahimelech. Now, for those of you who understand scripture, you know that David went and got showbread. It talks about it all the time in the scripture. He went to a certain priest. Well, this is the priest that he got the showbread from. His name is Ahimelech. But what's important is, let's read how they title Ahimelech. Okay, we're going to read how they title Ahimelech. So, brother, let's see, make sure that's the right one. I don't know if I put it down there, but I'm going to just tell you guys to beat through the punch. When you go, and I think I do have it in a further scripture. Let me see. Yeah. Okay, they're going to title Ahimelech a Hittite, just like they named Uriah a Hittite. Bathsheba, her husband was Uriah the Hittite. Also, Ahimelech is called the Hittite. Same thing. So let's read and get some understanding about this word Hittite to see if it's not true that these were Hebrews. Ahimelech, the priest, go to 1 Samuel 21, and please read verses 1 through 9 for us.
All right. 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 9. Start
at
verse
1. I'm sorry, brother. I got to stop you. Family, I wasn't keeping track of my time. I better say it now. We got about 5 minutes left. Ooh, look like everybody there. Hallelujah. Everybody. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to still say it in case anybody on the chat line, we have more callers than people on the chat line, in case anybody wants to switch over because I'm getting ready to get to some punches, y'all better hear them, because if somebody come try to tell you that it's just not in the new, you know, y'all want to stick with the new covenant that those Gentiles, which we know, yes, those were Hebrews, but still Gentiles come in because you got to go back to the old covenant. We're going to show you how they screwed up that too. For your understanding. Now, if anybody wants to continue with us, you need to go ahead and switch over. We got 5 minutes. The number is 646-595-4111. We're talking about Bathsheba, the Hittite or Hebrew. What was she? What are they speaking of when they say Gentile, stranger, sojourner, heathen? Look, all these names, because first of all, many people don't even know who the nations are. The Father can give you the description of Esau. You still don't know who he is today. You don't even know who you are, some of you sit out there. But it's all in our Father's Word. We're going to get an understanding that this is all about Israel. Everything. This is our Hebrew history book. The world got their lies, their history. They got it. Our Father wants you to know. See, if you understand that this is our history book, you got to start asking yourself, are you doing right? Are you going against the Father when you say, hey, come on in. Come on in. Look. You sojourn, you're one as if homeborn if you do this. Oh, you need to be reborn again because you a hybrid, some people tell you. And first of all, ain't no water baptism going to take no more sin off you than dirt. Most of y'all go in dirty, come out dirty, and go right back in sin. You know, that reborn, that lie that they're teaching, you can't convert into being a Hebrew. You can't do that. It's a spiritual thing. No amount of water going to transform you miraculously into a spiritual Israelite. It's not going to do it. And those strangers and sojourners in the new covenant, those were us. Know that there was more than one scattering. Understand the beginning to get to the end. Understanding what's going on right now. Judges chapter 2 tells you, hey, I'm leaving right there to try you, to approve you. I got it in the word. Are you going to read? Are you going to study and show yourself approved? It's not my words. It's his words, our father's. Are you that big and bad and bold and haughty that because a sister tell you that, you can't look in the word and see what it says? Or you just know so much, whether male or female? Because all we're doing is reading the scripture. For those of you who sit on religion or, I don't know, spiritual, whatever, I don't know. Hey, I know most of our people have always loved the Father. I was in Christianity too. But when the truth comes forward and presents itself in the same book you're reading out of, I'm reading out of too, and we're showing you what these words mean, do you love the Father more than what you've been taught? It's not about saying I hate anybody. It's about the Father's truth, his word. Get the mark of Yahuwah on you. Come to the truth of his word. That's what we're reading about right here. So one more time, we have 2 minutes left. The number is 646-595-4111. I'm going to have our brother read. We're going to get to something. Y'all better pay attention. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. And I just want to say shalom and Shabbat shalom and thank you to the chat line. I'm going to go ahead and close that up. I'm going to close up the chat line because everything – well, I better leave it open for the verses. I'll leave it open. But we're just going to be basically talking to those on the phone line at this point because I'm not going to pay attention to the time anymore. But I do want to get this understanding going on. We're going to find out about Ahimelech. They call him a Hittite too, family. Let's find out what he is. 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 9, brother.
All right. Starting at verse 1. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech, the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hollow bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, or excuse me, set apart, and the bread is in the manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hollow bread, for there was no bread there, but the showbread that was taken from before Yahuwah to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before Yahuwah, and his name was Dogon, an Edomite, the chiefest of herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither bought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business require haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod, if thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. Give it me.
All right, brother. Thank you. I want you to read only one verse. I want you to go to the link I just posted, which is 1 Samuel 26, and I want you to read verse 6 only.
Verse 6. Okay. 1 Samuel 26, verse 6. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech, the Hittite, and to...
There you go. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's all. Now, the reason why I want you to read that is because they call Ahimelech, which was the priest that gave David the showbread, they call him a Hittite. But if we go back, family, this is what you call study to show yourself approved. I don't care that these other nations have tried to deceive us by word, especially English word and pictures and so forth. We go back and read, it tells us in 1 Samuel 21, when you read verses 1 through 9, it tells us then David came to Nob. Who was in Nob? Well, Amalek the priest. They said that Amalek the priest was what? A Hittite. But let's read about him. It said that Amalek the priest said to David, or David said to Amalek the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereof I send thee. So he was saying it was secret. And what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what is under thy hand? Speaking to Ahimelech the priest. He says, give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand. This is David talking to him. Or what there is present. Here's what the priest answers to David. Now, this is a priest. They said he was a Hittite. We know that the service of the Most High was always to the Hebrews. Didn't go to these other nations. Here's what's said. The priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, which was of the Hebrews. Y'all know that. Now, come on. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women, this is all part of the Torah you're supposed to understand. You're supposed to know how everything was done by the priest. You know, you had to be clean. Everything was done in order, and there were certain rules that the Most High laws that he put into place concerning everything of the temple, with the showbread, everything. So this particular, as the word reads in English, this Hittite, this Ahimelech, the priest, it said that he told David, there's no common bread under my hand, but hollow bread. Now, David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessel of the young men and the vessel of the young men, they're set apart. And the bread is in a manner common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. What, you think these other nations were sanctified in anything? No. This Ahimelech, this what they call a Hittite, just like they call Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, these were Hebrews living in the land amongst the Hittites. So they were called Hittites. So when we go a little further, it says in verse 6, so the priest gave him the hallowed bread, and there was no bread there but the showbread, okay, that was taken from before Yahuwah. Now this priest was before the Most High. It says to put hot bread in the days when it was taken away. All right, family, if you go to verse 9, it tells us, and the priest, we're talking about Ahimelech, the Hittite, is said, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, remember David slain the Philistine, Goliath, it says, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in cloth behind the ephod. This priest, who was a Hittite, had an ephod. That was for the Hebrews. What? Yeah, that was for the Hebrews. The showbread, that was the Hebrews. So it says that this priest let him know, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, which you slew in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. Now, brother, we know that they are trying to say that Ahimelech, as well as Bathsheba, as well as Uriah. These were other nations. The Father was bringing them in to pollute the holy or the set-apart lineage of the Most High, because we could read about that in what? Matthew 1, where Uriah's name and Bathsheba, although they didn't want to call them for what they were mentioned. Now, they're calling them Hittites. We know they were Hebrews. Let's go a little further, get a little understanding. Read 1 Samuel 26, verses 6 through 9. Go ahead and read the whole thing, 6 through 9, please.
6 through 9. That was 1 Samuel 26, 6 through 9. And,
yeah.
All right, starting at verse 6. Then answered David and said unto Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abshia, the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishah said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishah came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishah to David, you who have delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishah, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against he who was anointed and be guiltless?
Okay, thank you, brother. We read 1 Samuel 26, verses 6 through 9, because within there they say that Ahimelech is a Hittite. They're trying to make you believe that he is from another nation. Then they go even further in verse 9, and it lets you know the word is clear. David said this throughout Samuel. He was saying, who's going to stretch their hand against the Most High's anointed, right? That was a thing that all Israel knew not to do. Now, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 22. We're going to read verses 6 to 23. I'm going to post the link on the chat line if anybody is there and want to read along with us. I already got the links pre-done, so all you got to do is click on them. Let me post it real quick. Okay, there's the link, family. For those of you at home, I'm going to retell what scriptures I just gave out for the family. You guys can follow along. We're going now to 1 Samuel 22, verses 6 through 23, because you see, one thing you got to understand, when this was going on, this Ahimelech, the priest, he didn't have any understanding. He kept it secret. He didn't tell the priest that Saul was after him, okay? He didn't tell this Hebrew priest that they call a Hittite. He didn't tell him everything, okay? He's the one who gave David the showbread and the sword. Okay, because Saul was after him. Saul had an evil spirit put on him, and Saul wanted to slay David. But David tells us in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 26 that he said this to Abishai, destroy him not. You can't kill Saul. For who can stretch forth his hand against you who is anointed and be guiltless? Now we're going to find out something else that happens here. When we go to 1 Samuel 22, verses 6 to 23, you're going to read that Saul finds out about David, where he's been, and he saw this priest. He's going to find out. And remember, the priest had not been told the complete truth about why David was running, why he wanted the showbread and the sword. So let's pay attention to what's being said here. Verse 6, please.
All right. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing around him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son had made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Dego, the Edomite, which was sent over, was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Hatob, and he inquired of Yahuwah for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Hatob, all his father's house, and the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Hatob. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of Yahuwah for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of Yahuwah for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servants, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of this, less or more. Let me scroll down to Georgia. Verse 16. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of Yahuwah, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of Yahuwah. And the king said to Dogi, Turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Dogi the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the saints, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women and children and suckling and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword.
Read 19 one more time, brother. One more time.
I was just thinking that. It said, and now the city of the priest smote he, which refers to the Edomite, with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and suckling, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Atad, named Abathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abathar showed David that Saul had slew Yahuwah's priest. And David said unto Abathar, I knew it that day when Degoi the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Now, he just read to you guys, and I pray you understood everything. 1 Samuel 22, verses 6 through 23. It goes hand in hand with what happened with David taking the showbread from Ahimelech the priest, which they call a Hittite in the scriptures. This is out of 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 9. Now, remember, what's important is, let me go back a little bit further, too. Hold up. Did I pass it up? No. Okay. Well, most of all, you should understand that David was concerned when one of his servants you know, after Saul was after him, that he said, you know, you ought to know better. You can't touch one of the Most High's anointed, okay? Now, when we go back to reading about this Hittite, so-called, which we know is a Hebrew now, in 1 Samuel 26, verses 6 through 9, that's what it was. Okay, that's where I read it. I put my screen too far up. But anyhow, in 1 Samuel 26, when you get to verse 9, it says that David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not," speaking of Saul, "for who can stretch forth his hand against you who is anointed and be guiltless?" Now, when we just read in 1 Samuel 22, verses 6 to 23, Brother Chad just read it for us, you don't understand that even though they put that word Hittite, the word gives it all away. The word gives away who that Edomite was. Let's get some understanding. You see, they got to keep changing these words up, and they got to call the Most High's people by different names, just like they call us African Americans. Well, they called Ahimelech, as well as Bathsheba, the husband of Uriah the Hittite. These were Hebrews, family. Go to 1 Samuel 22, verse 6 to 23. I'm going to take my time with this. I want to make sure y'all getting it. When Saul heard that David was discovered, now remember, Doeg had saw David, okay, with Ahimelech. So he's going to report this back to Saul, who was already paranoid that everybody had a conspiracy against him. Let's go a little further. He said that everybody had a conspiracy against him. So what he says is, it says, I'm going to pick up at verse 9, because this is where Doeg, the Edomite, steps in and tells that he saw David, okay, with Ahimelech. Verse 9 reads, "Then answered Doeg, the Edomite," and this is of the other nation, he says, "which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse," which is David, "coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub." Okay? So he's reporting what he saw. And then in verse 10 it tells us, and David inquired of Yahuwah for him. So we know, if this priest is being inquired by the Most High for David, he has to be a Hebrew. You know, it's like they won't give you, it's like you got to just study to show yourself approved. You got to understand they're going to throw those words in there, Gentile, Jew, he was a Roman. A lot of people, I hear them on YouTube fighting about whether this person was a Hebrew or not. They were Hebrews. Even the serpent seed, it was a Hebrew. They were considered a lost sheep because they knew not the Father. That's all it was. You had a remnant. We're going to get into the remnant a whole other day. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other understanding. Okay, I can't get into that today. But understand this. He inquired of Yahuwah for him. Okay, David went and asked the Most High by Ahimelech, the Hittite, which was a Hebrew. It said, and gave him victuals. This priest of the Most High gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine, the one that was wrapped behind the ephod. Okay? Then the king said, to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, all these priests, the priests that were in Nob. And they came, all of them, to the king. Now remember, after he questions him, we're going to read about that. Remember what David said. Are you supposed to stretch forth your hand to slay one of the Most High's anointed? Keep that in mind, family. It tells us, then the king sent and called Ahimelech, okay, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king, to King Saul. Here's what said. Saul said, "Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. Then he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And that was Ahimelech answering Saul. Here's what Saul says. "Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse," which is David, "in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and has inquired of the Most High for him?" See, a lot of people are going to think that because they keep throwing that word Hittite, that something, what's going on? We can bring the other nations in. They can speak to our father. This Hittite is speaking to our father, inquiring of our father. You know, they got that set apart spirit. Many of them believe they have it. The word doesn't preach that, but hey, they believe it because there's some Hebrews teaching this stuff out there. It never says it in the word. So we got a Hebrew that's called the Hittite inquiring for David to the Most High, our Father. Even though they call him a Hittite, we know he's a Hebrew, right, family? See, I want y'all to get that understanding. Don't think I'm just throwing these other nations off. Our father told you who they were. He told you that in past times ye were called Gentiles, ye were called strangers, ye were sojourners, ye were alienated from the commonwealth of the people. You call aliens too sometime in the old covenant. So here's what Saul says. You want to know why he inquired of the Most High. You know, for David, why you do this? Why are you taking his side is what he's saying. He said in verse 14, Ahimelech answered the king Saul. He answered him. He said, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thy house? He's asking Saul a question. So then in verse 15 he says, did I then begin to inquire of Yahuwah for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, which was the priest line. He says, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. I don't know what you're really talking about. I don't know. I did do these things for King David, but I don't know what all this conspiring and helping him, because I thought he was, you know, under you. I thought he was your son-in-law. I thought that he did your bidding. This priest don't know what is going on. Here's what Saul says. Verse 16, and the king, Saul, here's what he said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech. But everybody believed, okay, it's all right to kill this Ahimelech because he's a Hittite. No, it was a Hebrew. Check it out. Thou and all thy father's house shall surely die. Verse 17 gives it away. It says, and the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Most High Yahuwah, the anointed. Slay them, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But what do footmen do, family? Let's read about it in 17. It says, but the servants of the king, the footmen, would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Most High. They would not touch the anointed. They knew they were Hebrews. But guess who touched the anointed? And not only just the anointed, all the priests. And not just all the priests, the men, the women, the children, the cattle. Who is touching the Most High's anointed today? Who has been touching the Most High's anointed throughout history? The enemy. Let's read about it. Doeg, the Edomite. First one in the telling of those who hated our father, made a Talmud against our father, and hated his people. Go to Psalms 83. The Tabernacles of Edom, baby. Don't think I'm being prejudiced. I'm just reading the word. Let's go there. It says, after King Saul had asked the footmen, didn't ask, told them, hey, turn and slay the priest of the Most High. And they said, we're not going to put forth our hand to fall upon the priest of Yahuwah, the Most High's anointed. And King Saul, here's what he said to Doeg, the Edomite, turn thou and fall upon the priest. Now, hey, if Doeg the Edomite was a Hebrew, he would have not touched them. Here's what he did. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, even though they want to call them Hamites. Or not Hamites. Well, they were Hamites too, but Hivites. Hittites. Not, they're trying to make you think that these were not our people. Doeg, as well as those in Psalms 83, as well as those in the book of Obadiah, the ones who never lost their heritage, the ones who gave us a wicked and perverse heritage in America as well as all over the world, he turned, and what did he do? Here's what he did, family. Let me go there. Verse 18. Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, the Most High's anointed, family, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod, the Most High's anointed, the Hebrews, who they try to pull off as Hamites, or shall I say Hivites, same thing, still of the lineage of Ham. They tell us today we of the lineage of Ham. They tell you that these people are Hittites, that we're all one because all the nations are now under the Most High through Yahushua. All you have to do is believe on the word. Say the sinner's prayer. You better know the truth. Are you supposed to be bringing these people in? Not to say you got to show them, but is it your job when it says that we go to also first the Hebrew, then the Gentiles, speaking of the whole world. No, you're going first to the people who know the Father, giving them the truth so that they can, just like the apostles were doing, teaching our people so they can go out and teach more people. The ones who already know the truth and know the Hebrews, give them the full truth of it. Then go out and teach those lost sheep, those Gentiles. The Gentiles that are getting blessed are the ones who know not the Father from the ones who know the Fathers. They call them Jews and Gentiles. They call them Hebrews, and they call them Gentiles, strangers, aliens, sojourners, and all these other names. But these are our people. But they fooled you because they keep pushing words like Hittite and so forth. And he was a Roman and whatever else. When you keep reading, you understand Paul wasn't no doggone Roman. You understand that Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, King Solomon, that wasn't a Hittite, nor was Uriah a Hittite. You've been deceived. Those sojourners, those strangers that became as one of us once they start doing as we did, those were lost sheep. Same ones that have been spoken of in the New Testament, the New Covenant, where they got to take off the flesh man, and put on the spiritual man, come to the truth. The same ones who were underneath the scribes and the Pharisees, which were Hebrews, but they had a different spirit in them. All the same thing, family. This right here, it tells us that here's what this man of a different nation, this Edomite named Doeg, okay, he killed 45 priests, okay, with linen ephods. These were our set-apart people. He didn't have a problem with slaying one of the Most High's anointed. Then it says in verse 19, and Nob, the city of the priests, smote this Edomite, he, with the edge of the sword. Hey, Esau said, which is the Edomites, Esau is the father of the Edomites, didn't he say, I will slay my brother? And everybody think brother means that's his real brother. No. No, that's not it. No. Uh-uh. He was not a Hebrew. He said, I'm going to slay my brother with the sword after my father dies. Many of us are still getting slayed today. They don't use a sword no more, okay? We, in 2013, they use a gun, they use a taser. Some of them go in the backwoods and still use a rope. They'll drown you, they'll kill you. Hey, I'm just telling the truth. Same thing's happening today, but you know what? You told that we all come from Adam and Eve. You told that, hey, we all got the set-apart spirit. You told that they get engrafted in. You told that they got to be born again. And then God loves us all. Jesus said, just say the sinner's prayer, and that you just say, hey, you know, I claim Jesus in my life. And hey, you're spiritual Israel now. And the Father Word let us know who that enemy truly is. It's all the other nations. Now, when we go here, we see that this Edomite, this Doeg, not only did he kill 45 priests, the Most High is anointed, he went through the city of the priests. And he spoke with the edge of the sword, the men, the women, the children, the suckling, the oxes, the asses, the sheep, with the edge of the sword. That's all hints, family, if you know the word. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, which was, if his father was a priest, he had to be a priest too, named Abiathar, escaped and fled to David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain Yahuwah's priest. He's a priest by the Most High. These were Hebrews. I don't care if they put the word Hittite in there. Know who these people are. And David said to Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. I've caused it, is what he's saying. Abide thou with me. Fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Family, I got more verses in here. I'm not going to get to all these because I do want to take questions and open up to the family in case there's a scripture that you don't understand. But family, when you get the true understanding, the true definition of what a lost sheep, what a Gentile, what a stranger, what a sojourner, what a heathen, what that is in scripture is when they don't know the Father. When they start serving, they began fornication, which is serving other deities. I mean, we could read about it in the Old Covenant where the Hebrews knew not these deities, these idols that they were worshiping and serving. They went in and mixed with all the other nations. Later, we were scattered throughout all the other nations. But don't think that just because we get to the new covenant and you find out that, oh, yeah, those are speaking of the Hebrews. Don't come try to go to the old covenant and say, you see, you're bringing them in here. When the children of Israel took those strangers and sojourners, which were our people, and then you go read just, what, a couple books over, and Joshua's saying, get away from them doggone strangers. Be set apart. When we get ready to go into the promised land, he said, get rid of them. Get them off the land. And then we're reading about, you go ahead and read Kings. I don't have the verse with me. I should have wrote it down. In the book of Kings, let me see. I got my scriptures here. I hope I find it real quick because I want to say this. I marked it down. Let me see. Because y'all got to see it. I know if I say it, y'all be like, oh, she didn't show it to us. Boy, I tell you, I did so much reading on it, and I got so many sticky notes in my scriptures here. But I want to hold up a second. I'm going to find it. Strangers. Okay. Hold up. I think I got it. Yeah, here it is. Okay. I'm going to read this for y'all. See, you can't say that the Most High brought all these other nations in when you call them strangers, sojourners with us coming out of Egypt, when all the other scriptures say otherwise. You can't do it. Father's word does not change. Why are you changing? Because somebody told you that those strangers and sojourners weren't our own people? You know? The enemy told you? Well, let's read what our Father says. When we get to 1 Kings, this is chapter 8, I'm going to read, and I pray I got the right verse. Matter of fact, I want to jump to 50 first. In 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 50. Listen to what King Solomon says. He said in a prayer, after the temple was built, the house for the Most High, here's what he says. He's talking about his people. And forgive thy people, talking about the Israelites, that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. They were separated from all the people. Family, I just read to you 1 Kings chapter 8, mark it. Verse 51 to 53, for anybody that comes and tells you that all those strangers, sojourners, mixed multitudes were all these other nations, you give them that verse. And if they get mad at you, you tell them, hey, you're not mad at me. You're mad at the Most High. You've learned a lie. Start showing them where Paul said, in past times you were known as strangers. You were known as Gentiles, as sojourners, as alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Show them. It's time for the madness to stop because, you see, more prophecy, you got to know this. You got to understand this is our Hebrew history book. You got to understand that anything else that you would be teaching or accepting would be outside of the Father's will for truth. Brother Chad, you want to say anything at this point?
Sister Georgia, I'm just, and that was that last scripture that you gave right there. That kind of hits it home right there. I know what me anyway. This has been a good lesson. It really has. You know what I mean? Just being able to, you know, like you said, dispel the lies and the mistruths and the half truths, you know, that have been given to our people. You know what I mean? It just really makes a difference. It really does. So I just appreciate just being here with you tonight and, you know, helping you out. And you know, helping out the family.
Well, so brother, it's been a blessing that you come out here to help me read because you know my throat.
I know I'm not the most eloquent, you know, speaker, you know, whatever. But you know, I just try my best, man, with the with the help of the Most High, man. That's all.
Don't even try that. You did fine, I tell you. They, listen, the family know. They come to when I do the scripture readings. They know I'll be messing up on their names. I laugh through it. I keep going because I say, you got your scriptures right there. You know what that word says. I can't
right.
pronounce it. That's not a common word. Shoot, let's go on. Let's know the truth. That's what's important.
Right.
So as long
that's
as you're hearing.
Part. Right.
I tell you.
You're definitely right. You know what I mean? Because we can also, even with some of these same parallels, we can look at, you know, with Moses, you know, growing up in Pharaoh's house. You know what I mean? It could have been perceived that he was, you know, Egyptian. You know what I mean? Or even when Yahushua, when they were told to go down into Egypt. You know what I'm saying? They were down
yeah.
amongst those people. So, you know, just because you amongst a certain people don't mean you're of that people, you know. So we gotta keep that in mind as well, you know. But that's pretty much it, Sister George. I just, like I said, I really enjoyed it, you know, being here and listening in and helping you out.
So hey, I appreciate it. I know the family appreciates, but don't go nowhere because I gotta ask you a question.
No, I'm not going nowhere.
Okay, brother. We got another right. caller here. I'm taking number. You know, if anybody has their hand up, I'm going to take those calls. I got Eric Code 740 Shabbat Shalom. I hear a lot of static. You need to turn down your radio. Turn down your computer, rather, because I hear all that kind of noise. 740 Shabbat Shalom.
Hello.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah,
who am I speaking
good stuff
to?
Tonight.
Oh, thank you. Who am I speaking to?
This is truck driver.
You know? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. You got some good stuff going on tonight.
Well, the Father gave it, and I was when he revealed that to me, I was like, oh, thank you, Father, because he's been really pushing it on me to show our family. Don't believe that lie that everybody come in. He got a people. He had a people
mm-hmm.
in the old covenant. He bought Yahushua for those new covenant, as well as set those apostles out and waking us up to teach even our own people who want to say some Gentiles got to come in. They got to get reborn. No. He ain't talking about those other nations. He's talking about our people. So I'm so glad that you comment. Tell me something.
I was a couple years back. I was talking to an Asian guy, and he said, the reason why everybody else in the world knows two languages and the people who's in America only know one language, if they would have taught us different languages, we would have gotten a whole lot of answers, and we would have been able to sift through all the lies that they had taught to us. And it made sense just to me now why they changed some of these Bibles up, like you say, with the Hittite. They got to keep us off course. And, you really brought that on tonight, Sister Georgia. And I can appreciate somebody like you because, you know, you spend time and you look into every nuance.
Yeah, the Father just leaves me there, but it's good. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. Once we start breaking out more and more of these strongholds, because we've been breaking them down, and you see what took place, especially, you know that, you know, you got to question yourself. Well, have I been taught a lie? Because she read it and right from the word. So have I been taught a lie? Am I the chosen people of the Most High? When it says he's going to regather us, that's a re. You already were gathered to the Father, but you were scattered. You're coming back to the Father. It ain't talking about everybody who he said stay away from. And it goes
yeah.
with the prophecy even more. I'm going to tell you that, family. That's why I've been pulling back off of the prophecies. Because as I'm seeing, and Father's revealing, you know, he reveals in his own time. We just, as he reveals to us, you're going to get the most current shows that we have done, the lessons. That's going to have the most current, whatever the Father reveals. Because if he give it to me, I'm going to be yelling it, broadcasting it. As many people want to hear the truth, I'm going to say it. I'm going to show you in his word. So all this is going to really start opening people's eyes to the truth. And you know what? It would be a good thing if more people would go out. I know y'all go to several different of these Hebrew sites, and when they start talking nonsense, You're supposed to reprove them. Don't feel bad for reproving. Just give them a verse. You don't have to be nasty with it, but say, did you ever look at this verse or even the precept for what they're saying? Because that part about, and they love to use this one in Jeremiah, where it says that in the end times that the Gentiles are going to come to us and say, our fathers have taught us lies. Well, I got even more scripture for that besides just reading Jeremiah. That's the Hebrews. That's the Hebrews, the lost sheep. Those Gentiles, they're going to come to the ones who know the truth and say, hey, our fathers have taught us lies. Like when you go to try to talk to somebody in your family and say, hey, we the people. No, that's not true. You know, those people.
Yeah. Well, it took time because just as they were coming out of Egypt, and when Moshe was talking with the Father, he says, what am I going to tell these people your name? And I was thinking, I was saying, that was time that has actually gone by to where the people don't even know the Most High name. And it took tragedies like the first plague, the second plague, the third plague, and all those tragedies from 1 through 10, all they did was brought the people back together, because he said, where there was hell amongst the Egyptians, there was no hell. Where there was darkness, there was no darkness. All those tragedies and plagues got the people back together. And I really believe right now in these times, I mean, a blast in Texas, a killing in Newtown, a blast in Boston, this, that, the stuff is going to come. All that's going to do, I believe, Sister Georgia, is just like make us say, you know, just like I had my house vandalized and broken and stuff stolen. I said, you know what? I cannot hold on to this materialistic stuff or have my mind on it. I got to keep my mind on the Father, and it's just getting me closer. And that's what's going to happen to us right now. We're going to realize that America is going down. Like I told this one white guy. He called me up a truck. He says, man, you know, we need the Americans to stand up and gain our country back. And I'm sitting there. I told him, I said, hold up, man. If we want this country to stand and rise again, that means that we don't want the Father's kingdom to come.
That's right. Shoot.
So whose side do you want to be on? Do you want to be on something that the Father said is falling? Or maybe do you want to be on the side of where that kingdom is coming? So he got upset, and, you know, he went on, and I said, oh, I struck a nerve.
But look, brother, but in addition to that which we're talking about, everything that's going on, you know, that fear and that terror, they are the ones that promote that fear and that terror. You understand what I mean? Because I remember Sister Georgia did that did a show a while ago about the terror that comes at night and the arrows that fly at day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just keep that in the forefront of your mind as well, man, that a lot of this terror and fear that we see going on around us is promoted, just like we just read in the scripture where Dagon, the Edomite, he came in and he had no regard for nothing. You know what I'm saying? He came in and slew everything, you know, and he thought it was a, you know, a righteous act or a righteous deed, which we know, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to put that out there, that when we see all this fear and terror going on around it, you know, it's promoted by, as Sister Georgia would say, mankind or a certain kind of man. I put it to
you
like that. Yeah.
It's promoted by them, but I'm going to tell you, I'm listening to these Hebrew sites, the ones who can't come spiritual, they're promoting it too, big time.
Yeah,
and see, I tell everybody, once you know the scripture, you know who's who in the scripture and who the true enemy is. Who you got to know who your true brother is and who's the enemy that you're supposed to be praying for, who's that neighbor. Those are the Hebrews, but you got another enemy out there. You see, this is why it's confusing because of the way they worded words, but really, who has been warring against Israel throughout? I'm not talking about within Israel. I'm talking about outside of Israel. the same people who telling us and doing all the evil, and that our people, the people who have not the set-apart spirit out of our people, are coming, the flesh thinkers, I call them, because they can't come spiritual. They don't understand what I'm talking about when I say there's two creations. Read Genesis. There's two creations out there. But they are promoting all the wickedness on the earth. They're telling you to flee. They're telling you to start a little civilization in this hell-bound America that's full of wickedness. They're telling you that America is Babylon. They're telling you all these things of the flesh to do. They can't go spiritual and have the understanding that Babylon is confusion and it's everywhere. You can't escape from the destruction coming upon this world. Yes, America's fallen, but there's a lot of other places fallen too. There's nowhere you're going to be saved by but the Father. He said, rely on him, that 1,000 on your left and 10,000 to your right is going to be killed, but you ain't got a thing to worry about.
That's right.
If you know the truth. And if you, that's all it is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And he never told him to leave Egypt until he got him ready with that feast. And he said, y'all leaving out tomorrow. But during all them trials and tribulations, he kept them right there.
That's right. And see, that I'm glad you brought up those trials and tribulations, because the Father always brings us back to Egypt with what he did, all his signs and all his wonders. And if you don't think that he could protect us like he protected the children of Israel, our ancestors back in the day, where, that could be happening in America. Yes, these supernatural things that, you know, they're out of the ordinary. You know, what's going to come upon this earth can injure those who are in unbelief and those who have gone into the ways of the heathen and just love that wickedness. Yeah, it can hurt them. But if you are covered by the Most High, if you are keeping to his truth and you have faith in his word that he can do for us, you don't rely on your own strength or own flesh or own arm. You ain't got to worry about trying to store water. He provided for the children of Israel when they were out in the desert. He provided for
them. He told them to flush that rock open, didn't he?
There you go. There you go. And you see, Fear is not from the Most High. That's what our people got to realize, and that's why we're breaking all this down. But somebody within the so-called, some of these people, I don't know, I think that they do what they do, and I'm talking about teachers, with all this fear they're putting and promoting. Because certain people kept creeping in, and they tell you, your fathers were the ones who killed the prophets, and people aren't getting that. That was within Israel. But And I'm not going to go too far with it because I can go really deep right now, and I don't want to take it a whole other level. What I'm saying is there's certain people right amongst our people, but they have a different spirit, and they have the spirit of fear that they promote. They have the spirit of flesh that they promote, which is not of our Father. He says, Yahushua came. They deny Yahushua when they don't take it spiritual. When they can't get the understanding, the Father says you're spiritually discerned through Paul. And people think I talk against these people because, oh, I'm a woman. No, I talk against them because it's in the Word. Know the truth. Don't let these people deceive you. So, y'all want to add anything else, brothers? If any other family member wants to say something, just put your hand up and I'll bring you on. But we have about 15 minutes. So, anybody else wants to say anything concerning today's lesson or anything?
I know this, Sister Georgia. I hear you talk about the book of Judges, and I love that book, too, and what we read tonight. It's funny because the same people that had us in captivity or who we were sold to, the Most High gave us the strength and to come out and beat those people, just like I'm saying right here. Goliath was the bigger one, but eventually we are going to get Goliath's sword. I look at how this country has a big army. They got the police, they got the security guards, they got the lawyers, they got the judges, everything against us. But the Most High, it seems like he just allows us to see that, and then he shows us, like, listen, all this that they got, I can give it to you.
That's right. You know, and the other thing is, we got to look at this, because I know there's a lot going on in the world. I'm not going to deny it. Yes, it is going on. But you got to remember, just when the children of Israel was facing the Red Sea, and then the Egyptian was coming from behind, and people were just like the giants when we saw what was in the land. People's heart were failing. You go to the book of Judges, chapter 1. Judah. Now, the Most High said I was with Judah. That's us. Judah said, Simeon, will you come with me? He was scared. Our people are going to be scared of these things that they know. Look, they know where you can hide. These people got weapons of mass destruction. They got invisibility. They're dealing with satanic spirits. They're dealing with fallen angels. You can't get away with anything by your own strength. It's going to take a lot of time. You know, you got to be able to lean on it, man. You got to have faith in the word. We got to give it the faith. This is what they don't want you to know, family, what I'm talking about. You wonder why I have so much trouble getting this word out. I don't hear too many people talking about it. This is what they don't want you to know, the power that you have. How do you get that power? Well, look, Yahushua already, death, burial, and resurrection, we're healed. He gave us a set apart spirit. The Most High woke us up with the dry bones. The Ruach is given to us. The power is given to us. He said that you can move, what, mountains. He said you can walk across rivers. You'll be doing greater things than these, raising the dead, all that. We have the power. They don't want you to know that you are spiritual beings. You are the beings that are spiritual, not spiritual Christianity. If you could tell the chosen, I got something else to tell you, but I think it would flip y'all mind if I told y'all this. And I talked to a couple people offside. I might give it to our website, what I'm going to say, but it don't sound right when I type it. And I don't want to broadcast it because I don't think all of our people need to hear this, because I don't think our people can handle it. Our people are too fleshly to handle this, what I'm going to say. But if you keep reading the word, I keep trying to show you guys a little something here, thinking you're going to pick it up, but I know you ain't. I already know. And if I say it, you'll be like, well, wait, we can do this? Hey, if you understand who your enemy is, see, just like that white woman that I played at the beginning of the show, we know what we've done to you. You had to be put in a condition where you believed the lie. You believed that you ain't the set-apart people. You don't have the power. It wasn't given to you. Yahushua did not come back for you. You have no power. They whipped the flesh. They beat the flesh. We felt it. Our ancestors felt it. We've been feeling it in America since we've been here. They're telling us that we're Hamites. They're telling us that we're cursed people with big noses, black skin, and nappy hair. They're telling us that we're imbeciles, dummies, ugly, nasty, worthless. And they've gotten our people so scared of what we know that these people physically in the flesh can do to us that we don't rely on our Father, the faith of his word, even when we can read it. I've heard brothers get on to the website and talk about we got to rely on the Most High and all this other stuff. Then they go around and tell you how to backpack. Talk about their spirits. I'm going to bring another person on, family. Hold on. We've got another family member here. Let me go ahead and open up another mic. And, brother, I'm going to mute you for a second only because you got a lot of static, okay? I'm going to bring you back on.
Yeah,
I'm going to mute you for a second.
It's all good.
Okay. I'm going to bring you back on, though. Hold on. All right. Area code 203, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Sister Georgia.
Hey,
I just
want to
thank the Father for the excellent lesson tonight. It was wonderful, and I thank the Father for sending you someone to read with you. But I want to read in 2 Kings 6, right?
Okay.
In 2 Kings 6, it says, and Elisha prayed and said, Yahuwah, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahuwah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto Yahuwah and said, smite the people, and I pray thee with blindness. But what I think about the Father is that when the young man, he said, therefore he sent, I think in verse 14, he said, therefore he sent the horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of Yahuwah was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
That's right, sister. Beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's what the Father just gave me to give. That they that be with us is more than they that be with them.
That's right.
They can have everything and all this other stuff. Yeah. But if we in Yahushua, we under his wings, we under his safety, they don't have nothing for the Most High. Because he is our protection. And I just wanted to share that. That was 2 Kings.
This devil, you're right on time.
That's the Father.
That's right.
The Father got the enemy in check. Hallelujah.
Because
he said, the man of Yahuwah, he answered, he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he said, so it was surrounded about with chariots of fire.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister, hold on. I got one more call. I'm going to try to squeeze him in. Hold on. Beautiful. Beautiful. I hope y'all listening. Area code 936, Shabbat Shalom. You got about 4 minutes or less. Shabbat Shalom, 936.
Shalom, Sister Georgian?
Yes, who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Sister Phoenicia. I just wanted to say Shabbat Shalom. Hi.
Shabbat Shalom,
sister.
Shabbat Shalom, family. Hey, I wanted to know what it is that you said you didn't want to say. You said it was probably too much. It would be too much for people to understand. But I'm very curious. I want to know what it is.
Well, sister, I really can't go into it. Are you part of the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'll just send out an email to everybody on the website because I'm going to tell you, if I say this on the air, it's not going to go right. It's not going to go right. And people are going to be doing some unrighteous things, and they're going to be putting themselves in danger. If I go through these scriptures, and I've actually gone through them, but if you're understanding who your enemy is, when they say pray for your enemy and it tells you brotherly love and charity and, you know, all these things and the Gentiles, who these people, if you know everything is about us, but what they've lied to us about, why they had to lie to us, and then you get the true understanding of, I can't say it on here, but I'll say it to you guys in an email. It might turn some of the Hebrews very unrighteous and judgment will be on them from the other nations right now because many of them still are flesh thinkers. So this would not be good information to give out on the radio. Plus, the enemy, he can't really do nothing against me, put it like that. I probably have more problems on the I just got my computer up after a week.
Be led by the Ruach.
I want to just say this privately to those who I think are ready to hear the truth. But I'm not going to say it on the air, so I'll just send an email out, okay?
Okay, I think I understand completely, and you basically said enough for me to kind of know what you're talking about. I've been feeling the same thing, and, you know, the Spirit is being poured out on us. Those that are, you know, really seeking the Father, the same Spirit is being put on us, so we're all kind of linking up and being on the same page. So I believe I know what you're talking about, and I'm looking forward to reading this email. I can't wait. Thank you, Sister Georgia, for all that you do. And we love you.
Love you, too. Now, I'm going to tell everybody, if I think that you're a flesh thinker, I'm not going to give you that email. I'm going to tell you now because you won't be able to handle it. You got to understand this is a spiritual walk. Hey, family, we got about less than 2 minutes left. Does anybody else want? I got every mic open. Let me open our brothers up. Every mic is open. You got less than a minute. I want to thank the family members who came out to sojourn with us and the sojourners, the gentlemen.